The 50th Pacific Islands Forum wrapped up in Tuvalu last night, and what's been reported is a bit of a rocky end with disagreements among leaders over action on climate change. So 18 leaders of the Pacific, including New Zealand and Australia, met for a long 12-hour retreat yesterday to finalise their commitments and priorities coming out of this year's Pacific Island Forum. PMN News senior journalist Lisa Williams joins me now for more. Kia ora, Lisa.
Rana Talofa Lava, Mabel, happy birthday, PMN.
Woo-hoo, thank 26. You.
we all remember what it was like to be 26. Well, some of us anyway.
Lisa, speaking of remembering, it's been an interesting week in Tuvalu, and even more interesting end to the formal meetings last night with the communique not being released till after midnight. What does that exactly mean or imply?
Well, first up, I have to confess I'm feeling a bit FOMO because I'm not reporting to you from Funafuti. I'm reporting to you from West Auckland. But the haps in Funafuti, thanks to social media and media people being a bit more networked than others, yes, the dramas were all on behind closed doors. It was probably a bit like Nauru, where Mabel, if you recall, all the waiting. And I guess it's because our leaders now are putting a lot more importance on the value of the commitments coming out, because they know that they will be watched and measured by how well they perform or fail to perform against those commitments. So it was indeed a very long night. And as usual, the climate issues, the climate language was always going to be contentious. It definitely scaled out that way. And as well, West Papua, who knew the human rights issue finally got to got a little bit more traction in the outcome statement from Funafuti, as well as some very new challenges coming up. The Pacific Resilience Fund is definitely going to be walking. Samoa already stepping up to host it. And a few other issues around the nuclear waste that's in our oceans as well. So there was a bit of something for everybody coming out of the outcomes. And I guess that's why it took so long to knock through.
So going into detail, Lisa, what are the new commitments in this year's communique or new reinforced priorities?
Well, I guess the big one is the declaration that came out alongside the Funafuti communique, the Kainaki Rua, named after the place or the meeting where the leaders had their retreat for the 50th forum event. And that is urging the whole world to take urgent climate action now. Of course, it could have been stronger. We saw a taste of that from the small island states leaders, who were very specific in their call on the world and used the word cold, the four-letter word when it comes to Australia, and which Australia tried and succeeded in keeping out of the declaration as well as the forum communique. The new things as well, there's a major new step forward, another strategy. I mean, some people will be going, oh no, not another one. But those who championed it will be saying, yes, we need more clarity. We've already got so many out there. So there is a new 2050 framework for the Blue Pacific continent that's coming our way. And the Tuvalu chair of the forum, Prime Minister Sopoanga himself, has volunteered to lead the drafting group who have the task now of delivering a new draft strategy to the Vanuatu 2020 forum leaders meeting. So 12 months from now, we've got a big new strategy for the Blue Pacific continent that's going to cull together the best of all the previous frameworks, commitments, promises and policies before it. So it's no small task that they're setting themselves, but they want to step up the clarity, the cohesion, and the urgency to work together with the resources that they have. I think what's new as well in this forum communique and the declaration is that leaders are not just calling on the world in a very specific way. They've given themselves work to do as well, and they've listed those items and what they're going to do. A lot of it's already in progress. It includes stuff like the Pacific Resilience Fund that the FEM Ministerial had a bit of trouble with in May, but managed to pass last month. And happily, the leaders have endorsed. So there are those new efforts gaining traction. I think what's new at this forum as well and bears noticing is that Fiji stepped up and back into the plate as a strong key champion on climate change and the need to get ourselves in order. And it brought Fiji's Prime Minister back to the table in a very strong way, a very decisive way. He was the keynote speaker at the one day devoted solely to climate change talks, which was the Sotalanga that was led by Tuvalu. And it had to be in Tuvalu, of course, the place which is, for our region, one of the leading countries living on the edge of climate change impact.
So with all of the tensions between the climate change debate and where each leader stands with their respective countries and economies, where does that leave the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his relationship with the Pacific? Because I understand Jacinda Ardern is quite neutral in her stance, but also, you know, calling indirectly for Australia to do their part as well.
Yeah, look, I've always been very mindful that the way media paint and deliver the news on the forum leaders is not necessarily a true predictor of what's happening at ground zero in that room at the retreat, wherever they are, when they get to talk one-on-one. It's often quite a different reality. So I think in reading through all the headlines and the adversarial way, the back and forth that especially mainstream Western media have painted the issues, the reality for Pacific countries and how our leaders are behaving at the table are actually quite different. So I think we need to take those considerations of the agenda driving the media coverage, which may have nothing to do, in fact, with the actual happenings between our leaders and the dynamics of how they get on with each other. I think that's important to remember at the end of the day. And there's a funny quality that rolls out at the forum itself, where this issue of consensus that is one of the key qualities that leads development debate in our part of the world. You know, we can talk about bilaterals, we can talk about national interests, but in many ways, and working with oceans management has proven it, our leaders have this ability to get together and find their way, claw their way, fight their way back to the common issues that keep them surviving and keep this region alive and vibrant and dynamic and just the way it is. So you've got to consider that those issues have been guiding the climate debates for a while. It's been a platform that I think is going to get quite messy given the billions of dollars that are already being invested in future-proofing the Pacific. We've got countries that are having trouble, you know, with the resourcing and the governance mechanisms around spending just $1 million on future-proofing against climate change. Now we are looking for, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to make sure that we get it right and have a vibrant and dynamic future for our kids to enjoy this resource, the resources that we have. So it's getting quite precious in terms of how people are interacting, but I don't think the dramas have been playing out quite the way we're predicting. Sure, Australia, it's always going to be the big actor or painted as the big bad boy, and there will be some people who are very, very unhappy at how the language is not strong enough for them or is missing issues or missing definite words and practice and items. But I think, look, the communique is fresh off the press. For many people, it represents a start and something they can go on to work towards. You know, we've got big climate action summits coming up in New York. We've got the COP coming up at the end of the year. So there's lots more work for the Pacific to achieve and get together on. This meeting alone isn't the only one. It is a defining one. And just from what I've seen, it's early days yet. There's enough traction there to move forward on some very key issues, not just climate change. You know, importantly, James Bhagwan, the head of the Pacific Council of Churches, his whole issue that he said needed to get across the line the most was not climate change. He felt that the leaders had already pushed and created enough momentum to get climate change across the line. His big one, his red line, was West Papua. And given that he had been to West Papua himself and seen what's happening there, he was very keen to ensure that what civil society had asked for was delivered by the leaders. Unfortunately, they didn't deliver everything, but they have held out a flag when it comes to human rights reporting in West Papua, and there will be a big report heading to Vanuatu in 2020 from the outcomes that were delivered today.